Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thank you, Carol. Welcome back. 306. A lot to get to this hour. I mentioned Mark Cantor is going to come up from Cantor Injury Law at 3:20. Talk about some.
Sorry about that. It doesn't really matter what you're saying. We have to interrupt you.
I didn't know that.
Of course you didn't know that. Okay. There are three people who can keep stuff together and keep it from you. So we had this great.
What are we surprising me with today?
We had this great conversation yesterday. Great in that you were admitting and whining, which you do so well on the air.
I mean,
if you got an employee review, like tens across the board on the whining that you do, that you could not find someone to put up your holiday lights. And so your coworkers and I decided to try to help you out because that's how we are. We are helpful people, Mark. So I want to introduce you to somebody I believe you actually know. Matt Wooldridge is owner of Santa's Elves Holiday Lighting and Decor in South County and joins us now on KMOX. Matt?
Well, I was panicked, yeah, and I thought I talked to Matt a little bit this morning, didn't I, Matt?
Yeah, Matt. So what we reached out to you, to Matt first. Didn't we reach out to you yesterday, Matt? Just lie.
Yes. Yes, you did. And what a coincidence that Mark was able to get a hold of us this morning, and we're able to get them service set up. So,
because Matt, well, I understand that what Mark said yesterday is actually true. You are super busy. Tell us about that.
A lot of people think that early November is the best time to call. We've been working on this since August. Last year, we stopped taking clients the first week of November. So we're about mid-season form right now. As far as things go. And I think every year this is becoming a growing trend to hire somebody to install your lights. I think everybody understands a little bit sooner every year that they need to reach out and get booked because a lot of the companies, the bigger companies that offer that professional service, they get booked up and they know when it's time to call it quits. And then you're kind of left to whatever is left to install your lights. You're looking for, somebody in the family or the handyman or something like that. So, we'd love to obviously continue to grow our business.
And seeing more people? I'm doing this interview, Mark. Sit back.
No, that's right. I did have one question okay. for him, though, that I think is interesting.
Just are you seeing more business? And then, Mark, you take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. Every year it grows substantially, honestly. It's, like I said, last year, we ended last year with about 810 commercial and residential clients. We had 25 employees. We had 9 crews running. I don't brag much, but I think we were one of the larger companies in the area, and we just could not handle the volume that was coming in. We turned our marketing off. We did everything we could to stop the amount of people calling us, but we do have our names on our trucks and trailers, and people were seeing us all over the place, and we just couldn't believe how fast the market continues to grow for holiday lighting and decorating in St. Louis.
Matt, how soon? Because my wife actually saw a house. It might have been 3 weeks ago. It was definitely 2 weeks ago. I had homes in my neighborhood that had lights go up late last week and over the weekend. So what's the earliest that you've put lights on a home this season?
We started in the last week of September. We started doing our commercial installations, and then it was the first week of October that we started our residentials. So every year it continues to get, seems like a week earlier and earlier and earlier, just to make sure that we can handle our clients. What we do is we take care of all of our roof line lighting in the month of October. and through November and December. But we try to get as many. We put a focus on that roofline lighting. When the weather is more conducive, it's safer for my guys to get up there. And then we come through in November and we install all those additional services such as wreaths and garland and many lights on shrubs and trees and stake lighting along driveways and walkways and such.
I feel like, Matt, COVID is causing people to just want merriment, more of it, and sooner.
Oh, you're so right. This year, not only has it already been crazier earlier, but most of our clients are just saying, hey, it's been a rough year. We want to do more. We want to just really show the neighborhood as much cheer as possible. And so just people adding on, even if it's a 1 year, which is a great deal with us. Most people don't know that we actually rent our lights. So even if it's a 1 year deal, we are like, hey, I want to blow it out this year and just go absolutely crazy. And then next year we'll scale it back down to more reasonable. We allow people to do that. They don't have to buy all of this product and then be stuck with it in the future. They can even change their colors. You know, say this year they wanted to do a more traditional classic warm white. And then next year they said, hey, candy cane. And then the year after that, red and green. There's no charges for us to continue to switch up that display. Definitely keeps it interesting and keeps the neighbors talking about our clients.
Carol knows this, and the listeners might know this. I have often, this has been my deal for I don't even know how long. I've always said, in I think some people think I'm not joking, but I've in a snarky way said it's against federal law to flip those Christmas lights on until at least Thanksgiving, and you damn well better have them off the third week of January. However, Matt, to Carol's point and to your point, I'm making an exception this year because we need it. You flip your lights on whenever you want. Yeah. I'm not going to give anyone trouble because I just think we desperately need it. And I love Christmas time. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. I've joked about, you know, flipping on the lights and doing it too early. But I think we're all ready at this time. So all for it.
You're so right. So many people are like, you know, we always ask people, we set up the timers and we tell them, hey, it's ready to go. As soon as you're ready to start running your lights, you just to them, and we've had a handful of people been like, I'm ready. You know, we want to start running them. And even after the holiday lighting season last year, we got everybody down in January. A lot of people were putting their lights back up. And so we sent out an email to our customer base and asked if anybody was interested. We had a number of people ask us to come back out, and we ended up installing maybe 50 or so. We called it our hope lights, and we did red, white, and blue on a lot of houses. And, you know, it was extremely successful. So I think people, there's more reasons than just Christmas this year to just bring cheer and light to the neighborhoods. A lot of people are looking for a reason to get out. And if you can kind of extend that season, obviously it's good for us. But I think it's just good for the neighborhoods and just people to have that to look at.
Don't forget about annoyance to the neighbors, though. Annoyance to the neighbors is important, too. Think Christmas vacation, okay? When you're coming up with a plan for my house, as loud, as bright as you can get, I'll throw some sound effects in. Matt, the website, by the way, they're probably too busy, santaselvesstl.com, santaselvesstl.com. Matt, thanks so much. And Carol, thank you guys so much for doing some behind-the-scenes work for me here.
Anytime. You are welcome, Matt. Good to talk to you. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
There you go,
Mark. That was in very, very much so in the Christmas spirit, right?
Well, I'm always
I love that.
In the Christmas spirit.
Well, I know. I've been called Scrooge a few times.
We want to see pictures of this, and once they get it done, do you have a date yet? Did they set up a date with you?
No, he's got some pictures of the house, and he's going to go, you know, go to town. I told you this yesterday, and here's my point of differentiation is this block that I live on is amazing. Nearly everyone, I'd say 90% of the people in the neighborhood put up lights. There's one house way down on the end, like the final house. They don't put lights on because no one drives by their house. I kind of give them, you know, leeway on that, but I don't want lights that look like everyone else's, you know, so I'm looking for some differentiation with the Christmas lights.
Well, it sounds like Santa's elves will get it done for you.
They will. They will absolutely get it done. All right, Carol's back at 3:30 with the news. We have plenty more to get to, including an audio cut of the day this afternoon. That surprise, they threw me off with the surprise because I was going to launch into all kinds of things, and I have no idea what I was going to do. I do want to say this. Mark Kanter's coming up here in a couple of minutes. Let me just comment briefly on the on the marijuana story, because we were ahead of the game on this, and I've told you my wife is involved with these dispensaries that opened. She's the marketing director for N Bliss, and the story is some dude buys some weed that's sold over the weekend, some actual flower that has THC, and he feels like there is bud rot. It's called like mold in the bud. And what would you do if that happened to you? Maybe if you're just someone who is a medicinal marijuana patient, would you take it back to the store or would you call the state right away? The guy calls the state and now the state's investigating. They should. This maybe this is an example where there was testing that went awry or something like that, or the you know, the growers, Archimedes, maybe there is a problem. But it's a little suspicious to me because you have a guy that all of a sudden says out of all these orders that something's wrong with his weed and he immediately called. How would even anyone know to do that in Missouri? Just putting that out there. I think that, and that's just me saying that. That's nothing to do with the dispensaries or anything else. I'm just very suspicious of that personally. 316, Mark Cantor from Cantor Injury Law, coming up next.
The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
All right, audio cut of the day coming up. We have no Reardon Roundtable this week because I am taking a couple of days off, back next Tuesday. Senator Blunt has just checked in, though. He'll be on the show tomorrow. I also want to take, I have a good election-related topic that I want to kind of tap into you listeners for some calls tomorrow, so we'll do that tomorrow. I have an audio cut of the day I mentioned, and then I do have something coming up at 3:30 that I have no... Oh, yes! This is what's weird about the world that we live in right now. Many KMOX listeners have probably heard Sean Michael Lyle do news in the afternoon, evening, and he's a newbie to KMOX. I've never met him. I think I met him for the first time on a Zoom call this morning, and I thought it would be nice to have him on just for a get-to-know-you session. So Sean's coming up. Right now, my friend Mark Cantor from Cantor Injury Law is on the horn. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now. I just kind of wanted to touch base on several type of stories. Mark is personal injury attorney. So this is timed well because you had a, and I know this isn't your case, but we'll see how much we can, you know, get you to weigh in on this. The husband of the former school teacher from U City that was killed, it was a tragic accident at Starbucks in Olivet. An SUV crashed into the Starbucks, and this teacher, she was teacher of the year, very, you know, loved and popular, was killed. So now there's been a lawsuit. Basically, right, claiming that Starbucks was negligent because they didn't provide proper safety. So is there a case there, in your opinion?
Well, it's always difficult to comment on pending litigation. When I knew this was going to be the topic, I went to Missouri CaseNet and I pulled the petition. It's a well-written petition, which is the lawsuit. But there's been no answer filed. So, you know, we're commenting without the facts, without all the facts. I mean, obviously, the primary defendant, the negligent party, is the person that drove into the building. So the question is, was it reasonably foreseeable that this car would drive into that Starbucks and kill an innocent person? And obviously, that's a jury question. But I can comment on the law in the state of Missouri because, you know, I handle these cases all the time. It's a premises liability case. And if you ask people, well, you know, should a store be responsible for a, you know, a person that hits the gas and instead of the brake and runs through a store and kills someone, should they be responsible?
Most people say no.
Yeah, most people would say no. But then if you say, well, what if it happened, you know, twice before or once before? Or what if it happened to Starbucks, you know, 500 times before and they knew or should have known that, that, you know, it's a common mistake amongst the elderly to hit the gas instead of the brake, especially when there's what I call nose-in parking, you know, where you, where you're parking in front of a glass storefront and there's no barrier. Then all of a sudden, does it change your answer? Then is it reasonably foreseeable that a person might crash through and harm someone? And then the answer might change. And, you know, there's... Unfortunately, we've seen this a couple times this week. You know, we also saw that an urgent care on the corner of Clarkson and Kerr's Mill, someone was huffing, is the allegation in the news.
Right.
And crashed through and killed another innocent person. I mean, these things are terrible. But that's, you know, that's twice this week this topic's come up. So, you know, does that building need barriers to protect against a person that's allegedly using drugs and passing out while going at highway speeds? You know, so the great thing about this country is that you can always file a lawsuit. and that's also why some people hate lawyers, but I try to only handle the ones I believe are true, and I just don't have enough information here. People drive around barriers. You know, if that happened, then you know, what is Starbucks to do? So I've read the petition. I don't know the answer as to whether or not it's viable, because I don't know what the other side is. You know, I don't know their response.
Yeah, well, what's interesting there is, you know, I'm glad you pointed out that if most people would see a news story, like just looking at the Starbucks case, and they would hear whatever details they would have, and they would probably hear this about a lawsuit. I'm sure a lot of people had this reaction yesterday, and they'd say, oh, here we go. You know, these attorneys are just trying to, you know, dig into a deep pocket of a corporate, you know, citizen like Starbucks. On the other hand, what you said there is something I don't think people really think about. In other words, the nuance that may come with whatever might have happened in the past to that location or anywhere else, that's probably something that people just don't think about.
Right. And this family lost a wonderful person, teacher of the year. And, you know, what if that driver in Missouri, the law only requires that you have insurance for $25,000. So, you know, there's obviously we can't put a value, a dollar amount on a human life. But it certainly, if you did, it would be much different than $25,000. So what happens is, you know, someone comes into my law firm, and they come into Cantor Injury Law, and they've got this wonderful person, and they're sitting across the table from you crying because that person is now dead, and there's a $25,000 policy. Well, our job as lawyers is to honestly and ethically pursue any pockets of money that may be available. So the petition in this case says that it happened at that same location before. That a car went through the Starbucks. Then it changes it. That's a specific allegation. And well, then maybe they knew or should have known. It's foreseeable when you put pillars up. Now, of course, it's hard to talk about this particular case because it's pending. I'm just talking generically.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think that's interesting. Things. Mark Cantor with Cantor Injury Law. Let me ask about this. So I'm heading to taking a few days off, going to Las Vegas. When I was in Las Vegas 2 times ago, I took an Uber. You know, I don't usually take Ubers around here, but you jump into an Uber or Lyft and got around the Strip that way, and my friend lives outside of the Strip. We got into an Uber back in – this was in February before all this started. And, I mean, this guy was driving crazy. I mean, we were legitimately a little worried. We laughed about it in the end. But when you get into a rideshare like that, what kind of – responsibility does that driver have? If they have, is it only that $25,000 that you're talking about, or are there cases with negligence that could be proven in those situations? I think that makes a lot of people nervous just getting into the cars.
Right. And you know, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of death and tragedy with these for hire ride companies. One thing you should know, by the way, is that your automobile insurance, but for your everyday residential automobile insurance, has an exclusion. It will not cover you at all if it's for hire. So never go to an airport and if they hold up a sign, you know, rides, and they want $30 in cash. If you get in that car and that same thing happens, you've got no insurance because that's a for hire commercial ride, and most private policies exclude that. But that wasn't your question. The question is, what is the vicarious liability? Is it Uber driver or Lyft driver? Are they an employee? Are they an independent contractor? And what insurance is available? And that is a question of national debate right now, because the states are split on that. In California, they're trying to make these drivers employees. And I think that's the way to go, because, you know, Uber and Lyft, all these companies are making a tremendous amount of money. And if they hire a bad driver, if they fail to screen that person, let's say they hire an Uber driver or a Lyft driver that has 6 prior collisions, and then you get in that car without knowing it, and all of a sudden you're terribly injured, what is the liability? And the answer to that depends on whether they're an employee or an independent contractor. I think Missouri, they ought to be employees. And I think we ought to be able to sue the parent company if, God forbid, someone is injured or killed as a result of that. These companies are making a huge amount of money. So it comes back again to who's in the best position to insure it. It's not the passenger. It's not you getting into the Uber or the Lyft in Vegas. It's the driver might have minimal insurance. You know, they might have $100,000 or $200,000, and you could, God forbid, have a terrible injury. Then we need to be able to look at Otherwise, you become a burden to society. I mean, we see people canter injury law with, you know, paralysis and millions of dollars worth of damages. And if the companies don't pay, then, you know, we all pay. Then that person becomes, you know, Medicare, Social Security. It's all, you know, becomes a burden on society. So it's a great question. There's no clear answer. Not right now. Certainly not in Missouri. Not yet. But I think that there should be vicarious liability, that the Uber and Lyft should be responsible not to negligently entrust these vehicles to and their app to bad drivers. That's my legal answer.
Canter Injury Law. Yeah, no, I know. I got to get some news here. I wanted to ask you a little bit about some things related to guns because we're up on hunting season. We've got some time for that, so we'll revisit that in a couple of weeks. Mark Canter, Canter Injury Law. I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Mark. I appreciate you.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Oh, man, this reminds me, this bumper music, that I have seen Letter to You, the new Bruce Springsteen documentary that's going to be on Apple TV Plus on Friday. It is amazing. I spent 90 minutes in my basement weeping last week. That kind of cut out abruptly, Dave. You're usually better than that on your board skills.
That was my bad. I forgot how short that
was.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, the album comes out Friday, I'm going to say right now. And look, I know people are going to send me, you know, Springsteen says he's moving to Australia if Trump wins, whatever. I don't care. I want music. I want live music. I'm a fan of the E Street Band. I have been for, you know, 40 plus years now. And this is the, I'm just going to say it. I've been thinking about this because this is controversial. Best record since Tunnel to Love. And that says a lot for people who know the body of work. But the documentary that Tom Zimney did that will air on Apple TV Plus is simply amazing. It is great. Great work. So look forward to that on Friday. Just quickly here, some COVID numbers that have come out today. We didn't have the task force briefing, but they did have some numbers, and they're not good. I'm just going to be honest with you. You have an increase in hospital admissions, the 7-day moving average, the inpatient confirmed cases, the suspected cases, all up from inpatient confirmed from 350 to 372 today. Now you look at averages, but here's what I'll tell you, and I'm going to address this a little bit more tomorrow. What's interesting now is you have a lot more people testing positive, getting it, maybe even going into the hospital for some hospitalization, but the death numbers are way down. Now there's some theories on this and we're going to get into those tomorrow, but here's my fear. You know, I'm not the biggest, I hate the people that say wear a mask. I think you should wear a mask. I just hate being told to wear a mask. But I'm telling you, if you don't want schools and all these things to be dialed back again by Sam Page or whoever's making the call, wear your damn mask, because this is not heading in a good direction right now. It really isn't. All right, we have a new member of the KMOX news team and staff, and I was remembered, actually, sent a note to my producer earlier this week, Sean. I said, hey, yeah. I want to talk to Sean Michael Lyle, the new KMOX anchor, because it's weird, right? We can't see each other in person because you're there. I'm not coming into the building. First and foremost, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX and to St. Louis. How are you? Nice to meet you finally.
Well, nice to finally meet you. And I'm doing fine. And enjoying the afternoon and just enjoying living in St. Louis so far.
So let's get a little background here, mm-hmm. because have you ever lived in Missouri or St. Louis?
No.
You're a complete outsider here.
No, the last time I was here, my wife and I were here on vacation. That was like 6 years ago. I came to St. Louis from KSL, which is a station in Salt Lake City, Utah. That's kind of KMOX of Utah.
And, however, this begs a question, Sean, because you just said your wife. Which wife? There's got to be four or five because you came from Utah, right?
Well, that went out, actually, I think, before statehood. I'm not of that faith. I was raised Roman Catholic. My wife was raised of that faith, but and that's where her family is, and that's why we were there. But she's still my first girlfriend, as a matter of fact, since I was in high school.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That's a great story. All right, so you spent... how many years at KSL? That's another, you're right, the great
three.
Heritage radio station.
Yeah, it was over three. By the way, Kevin LaRue, I don't know if you remember him, he said hello. So he's the
Here's the deal.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean, I sent a message to, I still call him Kevin Zingenmeier.
Yeah.
I can say his name because that's his real name. He came up with this LaRue thing. I hired him back in, I don't even know when. I mean, it was maybe one of the worst decisions that I made when I was actually a news director. This was back in probably 1993 or something like that. He was fantastic. And then, lo and behold, you know, we had no communication for a long time. He was a really, really good news guy. And then I found out that he, you know, I might be working for him someday because he was a program director. So, Kevin was good. I have to say good things about him because he did great work at KFRU in Columbia. All right, Sean Michael Lyle here in St. Louis, new to St. Louis. What does Sean Michael Lyle like to do outside of being a radio news geek?
Well, one of the main things that I'm here for is my wife and I love going to sports, attending sports. Our sports are Major League Baseball, NHL hockey, and Major League Soccer. In fact, I used to cover NHL hockey, San Jose Sharks. That's our hometown, San Jose, and the San Jose Earthquakes. So those are kind of our big sports. We love college sports as well, especially college basketball. But those are the kind of things we like to do little weekend trips, you know, driving around. Last weekend, we went to the up the Great River Road. The weekend before, we went walk around the state capitol in Jefferson City. Maybe this weekend, maybe even going to Springfield to look around the capitol there. Just we like to get away and just look at different things, which is another good reason for being in St. Louis, because when you're in Utah, you have to drive for about a day before you get anywhere else. So that's what we like.
Well, I would say I've never lived out west. I've always kind of been here in the Midwest along the I-55 corridor, Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Columbia, Missouri. So I've never really lived in another time zone or anything like that, which there's a bit of a culture difference here in St. Louis. There's no doubt about that, right?
Right. That we're Californians. We're Bay Area people, like I say. Silicon Valley, that's where we are from. And yeah, one of the things that attracted me most was the fact that this is the classic American city. I mean, when you think of, you know, a city, you know, an American city, this is what I think of. And of course, that's why we live right in the thick of downtown. And, you know, I've got the balcony that overlooks just the fabulous scenery of just downtown. And so, yeah, it's a lot different than what we are used to, which is, you know, palm trees and Spanish style architecture and sunny days.
Yeah, it's different when you have to walk through with Kevlar and, you know, try to dive from the bullets that are being shot in downtown,
you know,
St. Louis, Sean. That is important difference. I'm glad that you pointed that out.
I've done that before. For a while I was a news director in a city called Bakersfield, north of Los Angeles. And we sat there laying in bed, thought it was 4th of July fireworks, and sure enough, some guy was getting popped just outside of our door. Mm. And just this couple of nights ago, you know, we heard the shots, and we're in a concrete building with concrete floors and concrete ceilings. So we feel okay, and, you know, we're high enough up that bullets would ricochet.
Well, I'm kind of teasing, but as you will come soon to learn, we do have some pretty serious issues with crime. But I love the down. I mean, if I was, you know, in a different place, I'd love to live in a more urban setting. All right, is there anything about St. Louis that has confused you or mystified you?
Well,
or that you just want to kind of ask a question about so far?
Every place, ask a question, not necessarily, because discovery is the joy.
Yes.
The interesting thing, more so, it'd be the same if you went to live out west, and that is that things that seem like they should be pronounced a certain way aren't.
You know
how that
like
is.
Like Des Perez. Have you done a story about Des Perez, Missouri?
Not yet. Now,
don't do that one. Don't do that one. Say DePere.
Yeah, DePere. There was Creve Coeur. You know, out in west, we have Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. But here, of course, Creve Coeur. I understand that. But it's when they go against the rules that all of a sudden then there's something that is pronounced, say, the French way or something like that. That's what trips me up, is where every other instance they do it a certain way, but in this particular town or this particular street, it's done a different way. So that takes some getting used to.
That does take. Now, I mentioned I spent 10 years in Milwaukee, and I had a bit of an advantage because I knew Potawatomi and Menominee
and Maquoneago.
I knew the Indian names.
Yeah.
Well, but see, a lot of people, they're not. You know, and you'll hear people like Wauwatosa and all these Indian names, and that throws people off. But here, do you have a pen with you right now? Do you have something you can write down?
No. Could you hand me a pen over there? Okay. He's handing me.
I want you to write this name down.
Okay.
So you don't have to write down the name Charles, but I'm going to see if you can pronounce this name.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought this was interesting. Okay. Chvala. So, how would you say that name? This guy's name was Chuck, C-H-V-L-A. He was a big
C-H-V-A.
Kind of a corrupt politician in Wisconsin.
It's
C-H-V-A-L-A.
Vala.
He pronounced it koala.
Koala.
Like koala bear.
Like koala bear.
Right.
Well,
so it wasn't, you weren't too far off, but that those are the kind of the weird things that happen with spellings and stuff like that.
I think she is on the St. Louis County Council. I mispronounced and her Ms. Days.
Rita Days, right?
Yeah, Rita. And I mean, how many times?
Rita.
Yeah, who would I said Rita? R-I-T-A. I've encountered the name, you know, a million times, Rita. So I mispronounced that, and I apologize to you, Rita Days.
Well, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. We know that just with all the newness. But welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you.
You'll hear Sean on the expanded news hour and in the evenings. And I think you'll hopefully at some point we'll all be able to see one another.
Yeah,
again.
That'd be nice.
I will tell you this. You probably have heard rumors about this, Sean. I'm probably the most popular guy in that building when I am back. I mean, everybody loves me. They have great things. Yeah, it might be fake news. Shawn Michael Lyle. By the way, I'm just jealous you have three names, too.
Well, that's my name. That's my name. That's what my mother named me. And so, you know, that's I can't change it.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a victim on the Mark Reardon Show this afternoon. You hear him tonight. 3:48. We got audio cut of the day coming up next.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, I'm going to see if I can squeeze a couple in here. One on a serious note, one not so serious. And by the way, Cut of the Day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. I shared some of the numbers from the St. Louis Regional Pandemic Task Force a few minutes ago. They weren't good. And we're seeing some things trend in a less than positive direction. Here's what Dr. Fauci says.
Unfortunately, we've plateaued again to about 40,000 to 50,000 cases a day. And as we're getting into the cooler weather, we're getting more and more cases. So this looks like we're going to have a very difficult fall and winter.
He says we got to get back to the basics.
There are some fundamental ways to prevent the acquisition and transmission of SARS coronavirus 2. I have repeated this so many times publicly, but I think it's worth repeating now. The universal wearing of masks or cloth face coverings, maintaining physical distance at least 6 feet, avoiding crowds and congregate settings, particularly indoors. Remember that outdoor functions are always safer than indoor functions, and frequent washing of hands is important.
Oh, there you go. The same message we've had for 7 months. On a much lighter note, Lizzo trying to teach David Letterman how to rap.
I'm hot. I'm hot. I'm ugly.
To make it a Lizzo song, you gotta be positive. You can't say I'm ugly. If you do say I'm ugly, you gotta say I'm ugly, but I like it.
That's as positive as you're gonna get.
I do my hair toss, check my nails.
I would buy David Letterman's rap record. There's no doubt about that. We'll go out with a little Lizzo. I do love her. Total Information PM coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.